But God birthed in him a curiosity about love and that special someone. God sent us someone along to show the way to this love. This man wasn't so sure, though, if it was him or God, so he waited. He pondered. He came back to the routine of life and got busy and distracted. He pondered some more and let curiosity peek into the possibility. But the battle wounds from life kept him from doing anything, paralyzed by the fear of rejection. He waited. But then came a message. Love literally came calling. It was loud. It was clear. And just what this guy needed to know. That it was in his curiosity, but God actually at work. The message was, hello. This is Alyssa Moe. This is my official hello. The girl Pastor Ed told you about. That was clarity. Love literally came and knocked, right? How many times did we miss? So this morning I figured it was a special message. It was a fitting to share this message because, you know what? You realize that 6 years ago, or 312 weeks ago, we were standing right here. Pretty close. Or roughly 2,184 days. Or, to be precise, roughly 52,413 hours from now ago, we would have been standing right here. We said, I do. Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
So, but enough of us. You know what? Today isn't about us. And I already got distracted because I got a special announcement. Epic Give Day, right?
Woo!
How many of you guys have heard the totals? Just one? Right? Epic Give Day for the kids for BGMC. This is exciting. Our kids, for September 13th, $1,057.40. Right? Listen to this though. Iowa Ministry Network, the kids in Iowa, they raised a total of $23,744.76 in Iowa that day. One offering. And the goal was $1 million, which is totally epic and crazy. But even as a nation, the kids of America gave $811,247.98 to missionaries.
Wow.
We didn't hit the $1 million, but that's epic. Like a one-day giving. How exciting is that?
Yes.
And I think what's even more exciting as kids pastors,
yeah,
is we've seen the spark from just that one promotion or one goal. Because we had two girls yesterday do another bake sale to get fired up for BGMC again. So how cool is that? So, but back to our sermon. Love is in the air. Okay? Genesis chapter 1. God created the heavens and earth, correct? There was a world, but it was formless, empty, and dark. And over this formless, dark, empty world, though, it says what? The Spirit of God hovered. So God got to work and he created life. We're in Genesis 1. So in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Dark and formless, but God hovered. So God got to work and he created light. He separated the light from dark and made day and night. On the second day, we know he created space between the waters and heavens and called it the sky. On the third day, he flowed the waters to their proper places and made the seas and land. Then he created the vegetation and trees. On day four, what did he create? The sun, moon, and stars. Called them into place. How cool is that? He called them one by one into place. Then on day five, he created all the creatures from the sea and the birds of the sky. On day six, God filled the earth with livestock, animals, small animals that scurry on the ground, and wild animals. And probably some animals that we would wish that he would never create, probably. Right? But there was one thing he had to create on day six. This final thing was going to be like none other, wasn't it? This creation would have attributes like nothing else that he had created. This creation would what? Bear his image. Humans. He entrusted humans to the earth, gave us this, through this creation, the food and sustenance to survive. There was every plant, every animal, every living being imaginable. It was amazing. Can you imagine? You know, we think we see cool sunsets and we see intriguing animals and stuff, but can you imagine it in its perfectness? At the end of the day of six, God looked over his work and he proclaimed it as good. It was good. He rested on the seventh and blessed this day and declared it holy because it was the day he rested. Something we all can learn from, right? You guys know that we need a rest. After God created all this with just a spoken word and he rested on the seventh, it says in Genesis 2 that he got back to work. Up to that point, there had been no rain to water the earth and there was no people to work it. Rather, the ground was watered from the ground, it says. The world was magnificent. Can you imagine what that was like? A place you found the peace and serenity that we all crave today. We guys crave just getting away. Debriefing. And technology, as I hold it, entraps us so many times if it gets us distracted, right? So, just like that. See why I love technology? Because then it skips and you're like, where'd I go? So, everything's perfect. And he rested. It had everything but man, though. And unlike any other thing God had created up to this point, he spoke everything else into being, didn't he? But how cool for us, the one thing that he created, he reached down and he got in the dirt. And he formed us with his own hands. He didn't just speak us into existence. Right? We are handcrafted by the very fingers of God. God took the hand into his hands, the dust of the earth, and formed us. And again, don't miss that he breathed life into us, into our very own nostrils. That's so easy to skim over that. He created man, and away we go. But we forget that we are intricately and delicately formed with his own fingers. And then he breathed his life into us. And in verse 7 of chapter 2, man, it says man became a living person. It was his handiwork. We were his prized possession. He took man and he placed him in a safe place. He always intends us to take us to a safe place, doesn't he? A garden. This place was called Eden. Or was in Eden, and it produced trees of fruit and everything the man would ever need. And then he placed in the center of a garden the special tree. The tree of what? Kids, I heard this earlier. Who'd you ask earlier? What was that tree? Yeah.
The tree of life.
Tree of life? And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay? Produced everything this man would need. And the man was entrusted to this. How cool is that? God created all this. Then he said to man, I entrust this to you. Man was entrusted by God to watch over this garden and to tend it. It was everything he would ever need in one stipulation. Everything you would ever want to need. But they had one stipulation, right? Do not eat from this tree in the sun. He had everything else. His animals put to work calling each animal and naming them. What do you guys think it would be fun to name animals? How do you come up with all those names? It must have been fun. But Adam, what was Adam with? He needed a helper, didn't he? Right? So God went back to work, didn't he? Verse 21 of chapter 2, he caused man to fall into a deep sleep. He took a rib from him, and God made woman from his rib. After he closed Adam up, he brought this creation to him, and Adam called her woman in verse 23, because she came from his bone and flesh. Says in Genesis 2:23, at last the man exclaimed, this one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united as one. So Adam and Eve lived like no one else. They had everything. They lived in complete perfection. They walked with intimately and physically with God. In the morning they walked with him, talked with him. But even this perfection, What happened? Satan had a way to distract him. Didn't he? And I think it's the same type of distraction that we deal with. He took their eyes off of what they did have and made them focus on what they didn't have. Right? How easy is that? We kind of forget every day what we have. And we look at that one thing that we don't have. And we focus in on it. They took their eyes off of God and they focused on what they didn't have. He lied and led them to look past everything imaginable that they enjoyed and got them to focus in on what they didn't have. It's the easiest way for him to distract them. You don't have this, though. You sure you don't want that? You have this, but what about this? Right? Our world is ravaged and riddled with pain, separation, discord, and disconnect in our families. Our nation's riddled with the same stuff. Discord, disrespect for authority. Our world is riddled with a virus like none of us has ever experienced. People are out of work and are struggling to get by. And church has been online rather than in person for many months. Many churches aren't back. We're privileged and blessed to be able to still be meeting. Some are slowly trying to meet in person like us, but things still are a mess. Chaos abounds. As I've said before, like they told us at Kidman, you guys are going back to a completely different world. Our kids are either learning online or are forced, right, to wear a mask. This country is far from what we knew it as even 20 years ago. And there's more we could add to the list. Anything I've forgotten? You guys think of plenty of things that I've forgotten, haven't you? Lots of things going on in our world. And we can go on for hours and hours and hours and hours of what's wrong. What's going right? Where's our focus at? Every day we've got a choice to focus in on what we can. Right? So our story is at the beginning of how alone I was and how God sent a helper to Adam. Right? And Adam was sent in the very beginning, was sent Eve. Fast forward to the New Testament. What did God do? He sent Jesus, didn't he? He sent Jesus to walk this earth, live as a man, experience our pain, our sorrows, our griefs, to carry those. Right? He carried our pain to the cross. So this morning I challenge you. Return our attention. Right? I'd like to return our attention to what matters most. Do you know what we are? We're the bride of Christ. How cool is that? We're His. And I know how I treat my bride. Right? Well, we know how brides want to be treated. Nothing this world throws at us changes that. We're still His. And it's funny because, what was it yesterday? Oh, me and Pastor Lissa went to the Fort Frenzy. See, we're still kids at heart, kids. We still go to the arcade too. She beat me twice at go-karts though. I told her, I think it's all because those carts, there's the kind of setup that if you bump and rub too much, they slow down. So I think I bumped and rubbed too much trying to get out of the gate. And by that time, I'm just like smoked. I was like, everybody's going by me. And I'm like, yeah, I used all the power up. So, but it was funny because we got to play in one game. I don't remember which game it was. Was it I don't know. But I realized how competitive I was because we were working as a team and I was trying to protect her. And you realize how it came out. Yeah, I don't know what it is. We normally don't play shooting games, trust me. But this was some weird game. I don't even know what it was. But I realized how competitive I got in that because that's my bride, that's my girl, leave her alone.
Yes, amen.
Right? And that's how God is with us. Yeah. Right? We forget that. He doesn't do what He does for us to put us in a cage. We're His bride. We're His prized possession. So men in the house, think about your bride. Right? Of course, we are in Ephesians chapter 5. So we're going to return our attention. We're the bride of Christ. So men in the house, think about your bride. Think about how you love your wife. Think about your first look. Let's look at our wedding pictures today. We do that on anniversaries. Right? Hebrews 5, verse 25 and verse 27. It's fun using technology. It's just being used to it. So Ephesians 5, verse 25 says, "For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault." So how are we supposed to treat her? How God treats us. How he treats our church. Right? Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. He gave himself up on the cross. He sanctified us and made us whole. He's washed us with the word because he wants to present us to himself one day in splendor. Without spot or wrinkle, so we can be holy without blemish. He fights for us. Protects us, cleanses us. Here we go. Pastor Alyssa says, Lindsay does not like being put on the spot, so I'm not going to torment him, and I'm not going to say anything weird. But you know what? I'm going to pick on him for a minute. Because how many of you guys seen the ride outside this morning? Camaro, the red Camaro. It's pretty fun. Amen. It's pretty fun. It's a sweet ride, and I love that he entrusts it to us to use every once in a while. We took it on a day trip yesterday, and we've been driving it today. But you know what? And it's an honor. But I also know that I respect that car. Because if I mess that car up, I'm going to have consequences. Right? As much as I love the car, I love driving it though, I probably don't have the same mentality of taking care of it as he does. I mean, he backs it out of the garage. What's the first thing he does? He looks it over and makes sure there's no dust on it. If there's dust on it, he gets the chamois out, he gets the water out, he rinses off. To me, I'm just like, let's go for a ride. I'm going to go for a ride. I want to drive this thing. And he's like, no, let's wash it, right? And it's not that easy. But I also know that if I hurt that car, I'm in trouble. Thought about it several times yesterday, how much fun that thing could be. You know what? I knew if I hurt him or hurt her, I'd be definitely in trouble. How cool is that, though? But I also learned this morning, I was thinking about this. It's like that with us. That car has so much potential. But I lollygagged it 57, 61 on the interstate, or the highway, 30 through the town. And you just barely tap it and you're up to speed. You know, most cars like that Corolla of ours, you hit the gas and it's like, you're hurting me. But that thing, you just barely tap it and you're up to speed. But how much potential is tapped inside us, just like that car, that's never let out because we're too afraid to use it. Right? There's so much potential in that car. It could do so much more than what I did with it yesterday and today. But what about us? There's so much tapped inside us. We've been invested so much inside us. We don't use it. Right? So that's just a side note. But listen, man, this is how God feels towards his church and how he feels about our wives. You know what? I in reverent fear would never want to make Lindsay mad, or much less God, for the way I treat Alyssa. Right? And that's how passionate God loves his church. Okay? So women in the house, think of your groom and your wedding day. I should have asked Pastor Alyssa this because I scrambled for words, but I'm sure you looked at him with eyes locked on him and made your way down the aisle. Right? And Ephesians 5 has a word for you in verse 22. And for wives, he simply says, "For wives, this means submit to your husband as to the Lord." Now, how many of you guys cringed at the word submit? How many of you know that this world has made us cringe at the word submit? What does that look like? I know what this broken world tells us to submit. And to be quite frank, you know what? I really hate what the world's done to that word. And to what he's done to marriage. Submit doesn't mean you're your man's slave. Does it? Does it mean that you have to bow to his every emotional, physical, or verbal demand or request? You're just submit to him as you do the Lord. And what did we just talk about with the guys? We're going to talk about how the man is to treat you as he treats the church. Right? So if he's treating you like Christ treats the church, then it's easy to submit, isn't it? So the dictionary says, accept or yield to the authority or the will of another person. You're not oppressed, you're not to bow to his every want, need, or whim, but just rather submit. Men, we are to be living like and leading like Christ, so that as with him, submission comes natural and easy. So do we lead our homes, our finances, our parenting, our legacy, our Christian walk? Do we lead by example in all those areas? You know what? I'm in authority at high being. And sometimes I just hate being in that position. Because you know what? I tell my bosses and my leaders, and a lot of times I tell my peers underneath me, I could care less about the position. I'm here for the people. I'm here for the story. It's not about the position. It's not about the title. It's about the people, and it's about the store. Care about the customer, and then care about the store. I care less about the title. So we've been entrusted a title, but that title doesn't entitle me to dictate, right? I've been entitled as husband to Alyssa, but that doesn't give me the entitlement to dictate or lead in a way that our wives and children would hate to follow. We're supposed to lead in a way that they desire to follow us. And 6:1, kids. They talk about you too. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. For that's the right thing to do. Calls us to obey our parents. Again, we see the example of Christ again. Because if everybody in the house is following God's example and obeying God and following his ways, our kids will be headed in the right direction too. All of us are called to obey our parents. And again, when submission is done with a desire to please and honor rather than a demand, it comes much easier. So this morning, let's recenter our attention. Where's our attention supposed to be? On him, right? On him first. Because in this world of chaos and stuff, it's easy to forget, right? I don't want to ever forget my first love. Revelation 2:2-5 says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you've tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. You have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake, and now have become weary. Sound pretty good. Sounds like kind of what we Christians try to do, right? We labor, we're patient, we can't stand evil. We test those that say that they're apostles. We persevere and have more patience. We labor for him. We depend on him so we don't become weary. But in verse 4, what does it say? Nevertheless, I have this against you. After all the work we put into it. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You've left your first love. God sees the hard work we do. He notices the patience and endurance we've shown. He knows that how we don't tolerate evil, and how we have examined the false prophets and we've suffered and endured through it all. But he still had one complaint, didn't he? We don't love him or others as we first did. So let's love each other as he's loved the church, and let the world know us first by his love, then rather than our opinion. Does the world know us by our opinion or by our love first? As when we submit to Christ in the proper order of submission in the family, so we do in this broken world submit to the leaders God's entrusted to us. We love when hate wants to spit venom out. Right? It's easy. When we hear or see someone, we want to spit venom, don't we? We love when we see unbelievers trudging through the mud of sin. We love and speak truth and life into the hearts of the hurting, broken, alone around us. We love like Christ, and rather than be the first to throw stones at the sinner, we get on the ground for a moment, see them for who Christ sees them. Right? What did Christ do for the prostitute caught in her sin? He got down to her level. He got in the dirt with her. He talked to her. Love is in the air. As Pastor Alyssa and I celebrate our anniversary today, but do we want love to be in the air all around us and in every word we do? Right? Every deed, every thought, everything we do. We want to be known by our love. Right? Do we want Him to be known because of the love of Christ pouring out of us? Right? Or does the world know us, know Him because of what He's against? I want Him to be known because of the love of Christ pouring out of us rather than being known as a domineering, judgmental, mean God who can't wait to throw the sinners in the pit of hell. Right? But that's the message we send to sinners so often. You're going to rot in hell. Instead of God loves you, let me help you up. We like to condemn people. Do we want our love to draw them to Him? Are you tired of not loving first? I hate when I react rather than respond. Don't you? You say something or send a text and you know it, but that after you said it, it's gone. And there ain't no taking back. And you realize it. Did I just really react again rather than respond in the moment? Because more often than not, when we react, we're reacting in the flesh, not responding in the spirit. So Christ is all about love, forgiveness, grace, mercy, and peace. Because we all know the Word of God says what? He came so that we might have life and life abundantly.
Amen.
Right? He came to give us life. It did not say in that verse that He came to judge, condemn, and beat down a broken sinner. He came to give us life, and so we have life abundantly. He first came to love. That's His first mission, to love us. And He led by example. But He did come to warn of the inevitable judgment and damnation of the world of sin to hell. Of the world of sin to hell, but He did so in love first. Right? He didn't first come to condemn. His first mission was to love. So we have a challenge here. Are we known for our love? When we're in our home, does love radiate? Or when we pass a stranger on the street, do they feel our love? Or do they see a pious, judgmental Christian who thinks they're better than anyone? Or do they see a humble servant of God willing to kneel in the dust and wash their feet? Right? How often is God willing to get down? Never once did He call people out. He rather got down on their level and talked to them. Do we want to be a humble servant of God, willing to kneel in the dust and wash the feet of a sinner who just spat in His face? I want our lives, our homes, our walks, our talks, even our demeanor. How do you guys know that your demeanor can change? It drives me insane when Pastor Alyssa tells me that I get focused, I look like a jerk.
Smile.
I try. I don't think about it. But she says, you get focused. And she's like, you look like a jerk. You look like you're ready to tear somebody's head off. And I'm like, I don't try. But what about our demeanor? I want Him to be known. Church, love is in the air. Love is in your heart. Because 1 John 1:8. Right? 1J, 2J, jump right. Sorry, that's how I remember my Bible books. We say that we have no sin. God is love. So, I leave you with that. Right? Can we be different this week, church? I want to be different this week. Can we as a church ask the Holy Spirit to fill us and teach us to respond rather than react in those moments? Speak love and truth, and not just spew venom and poison over everybody we come in contact with. Hopefully we can serve rather than be served. Submit rather than demand position. They got that new song out. I want to be revolutionary. Right? What happens if we create a revolution? So, with that, I think we'll close. Father, we just thank You for this time. We thank you for those moments in our life that you just come invade our space and just speak life and truth into our hearts as we just want to be a light and vessel to those around us, Father. We thank you for what you're doing in us, through us, around us, and for us. We just pray that you empower and equip each and one, every one of us to just be your light, your vessel, your lover to those around us this week, that they feel your love rather than your hate, Father, that this world so often is feeling is the hate of this world, Father. We just let us be known for our love. We just pray that you continue to be over Pastor Jason. Keep him safe. Just continue to heal Becca and everybody else, Father. And we just pray that you bring us all back safely next week. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for all you've done. In your mighty, precious name.